ESPN 97.7 and 100.1. Watch live on QSportsTalk.com.
Watch out.
Yeah, talking about way out there.
Boeheim! Wow, is that silence in a little bit?
Schrader takes. It's a two-man rush. Schrader steps
double
up.
Bit.
Pop pass over the middle. Tucker's got it. Room to run. 15-10. Hit in. For an orange touchdown.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Allen looks to his left. Fires left side. In to the end zone. Stephon Diggs makes a catch. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Swing and a miss. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
This is On the Block.
Yeah, I was driving home yesterday, so I heard some of your show.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brent.
2-1.
Here's X-Men.
Andy! Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio, Utica-Rome, heard, 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are doing, ESPN app. For a chilly day in the queues yesterday, I had to break out the jeans for the first time yesterday. Noticed a few trees in the neighborhood changing colors, as they took Blaze for his daily walk. He's getting a lot better at that. Shout out to Blaze. I think this dog's starting to come around a little bit. He's going to get some formal training starting next week, but he's growing up before our very eyes. Very proud. So, much better day today to put the ESPN app on your phone and get out there and walk around, get outside, get some darn vitamin D before we're all tuckered inside a little bit too much as the winter months approach, the fall months approach. I mean, we're talking about a Syracuse basketball schedule put out. So it's coming, folks. But enjoy days like today, mostly cloudy, or partly cloudy, pardon me, on the official in-studio monitor. 79 degrees. So enjoy those days, friends. And you can take us with you wherever you go on some of those formats noted or at QSportsTalk.com, a magical place where you can watch this year radio program as it happens. You can watch all the behind-the-scenes things that happen during commercial breaks, and you can chat throughout the program as well at QSportsTalk.com. Opine as much as you'd like. If you want to give us a call at 437-7644, it's always nice to hear your voice, right? You can text mom a lot, but it's nice when you call mom, right? Say, hi, mom. She likes to hear your voice. Call your mother. We like to hear your voice, too, sometimes. At 437-7644, you can hit me on Twitter as well, Brent X Media, throughout the program. We got two great guests joining us today. Now, around here, I think this is a pretty big deal, considering the amount of Yankees fans in Central New York. In the greater New York metropolitan area, I think this is a pretty big deal. I'm just kind of wondering, beyond that, how many people really care? And I think people are interested in it. I think people will keep track of it, but is it no way captivating people like past home run races have? I mean, Aaron Judge hit his 57th home run last night. He is approaching Roger Maris rapidly, will probably beat Roger Maris, and depending on which home run record you put your credibility, your credence into, right? Some people say it's 73, but that's got an asterisk. Is it still 61? Is it what McGuire ended up? But I don't know. I'm losing track here. But Aaron Judge is just locking down that MVP and hitting bombs. Unfortunately, doing that last night against your Boston Red Sox. So, James will tell us about how the New York area is reacting to that. Max Scherzer is here in Syracuse tonight for a rehab start. So we'll get the latest on Mets pitching, Mets down the stretch, where the Mets are at, Giants and Jets debuts, the ridiculous comments of New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh, and so much more. The New York Sports Beat. Our friend James Cratch from Elite Sports NY, a terrific site covering all things New York sports, will join us right here in this hour at 425, at 5:05-ish. Because we know Uncle Brent ain't going to be on time. Mike McAllister is going to join us. AllSyracuse.com to discuss all things Syracuse football, any recruiting news that we have to get, Mike's first reactions to the basketball schedule put out, and as they say in the radio business and on infomercials, and so much more. So Mike will join us next hour. Then Josh, who has seen The Godfather, unlike the other two dopes working out on this show, and I say that because I have all the love in the world for Matt and Jordan, but I'm sorry, if you haven't seen The Godfather, like I have to take your man card. Just hand it in and report back when you've seen The Godfather, and then you can have it back. Then you can have it back.
What do you mean you haven't seen it? You come here, I got to talk to you about something. You haven't seen No Godfather.
Josh has seen The Godfather, so we will allow him to come in and give us Syracuse football over-unders. I have no idea how he did last week. I'm sure Josh is tracking it all, and we'll see what we're looking at for Syracuse and Purdue. We'll go on the blind side. Hot takes will include, why does Brett Favre need $5 million from the state of Mississippi when, you know, he's Brett Favre? What a story that's becoming. But we start with not necessarily opposites attract, as much as I enjoyed that terrific hit from the legend Paula Abdul. But Syracuse and Purdue certainly are opposites. I mean, there's the obvious that Syracuse is an ACC team and Purdue is a Big Ten team, and they don't cross paths quite that often. As a matter of fact, they've only played once, if I'm not mistaken, that 51-0 win to start the 2004 season. Kyle Orton and company lighting it up on the orange. I always thought for some reason that was Drew Brees, but it was Kyle Orton and company that did that, right? So there's the opposite in terms of this is an opponent you don't see often. But when you start to look at these teams and what they do, I'm wondering how this is going to affect the game because of the strategy there, because of the adjustments that will have to be made. Adjustments have to be made in every football game. You come out, you see some things after two, three, four series, and you start making adjustments. To Syracuse's credit, after that fourth offensive drive this week, Gary Trader gets sacked a couple of times. UConn holds Syracuse. I think one of now Syracuse started the game with seven straight scoring drives. Let's not get crazy here. But you could sense like UConn found something on that fourth drive. And what I have seen through two games is Robert and I making immediate adjustments. And what Robert and I has on the offensive side and what he and Jason Becker bring to this offense is options. So opposing teams, sure, you can watch Virginia's offense and try and get some kind of basis down here, but you still don't really know what's coming. There's a little bit of a trend there on film, but the way that Syracuse is going to approach this game could not be more opposite of how Purdue is going to approach this game on the offensive side of the ball. Look at Syracuse. You have a quarterback in Garrett Schrader who is passing the ball as well as anybody, literally in the country right now. He's third in accuracy. His numbers are great. He's only misfired on 10 passes this year, and frankly, about six of those were just bad drops by receivers. It's rare that he's made a bad throw this year. He's thrown the ball 48 times, technically missed 10, but you can make a case all but about three of them weren't his fault. But he's such a threat to run with his legs that a defense has to account for that. And there's Sean Tucker standing behind him or to his side, and Sean Tucker running to the left, and Sean Tucker running to the right and going out as a receiver and as a defense, you have to account for that. Now, Purdue currently, and mind you, Indiana State is in the equation here, but so is Penn State. It's the 17th rated rush defense in college football right now, and every team that plays Syracuse is going to do all they can to stop one Sean Tucker. But he is such a weapon in the passing game, too, that you have to try to figure that out and all these other options that you're just not that familiar with. So the way that Syracuse is going to approach this game is the direct opposite of Purdue. Purdue is just, to me, from what I've seen, just straight meat and potatoes. Now, Tom Dienar came on the show yesterday, a terrific reporter who covers Purdue, Big Ten network analyst. You know, he's just been around that league and this team for a long time and covers it as well as anybody. And the way he described Purdue yesterday, to me, it's just straight meat and potatoes football. Aiden O'Connell, 24-year-old Aiden O'Connell, sixth-year quarterback Aiden O'Connell, a guy that got married over the summer, is about as straightforward pocket quarterback as you're going to get. So what you have is a contrast of Syracuse is new school. It's orange is the new fast. It's mobile quarterback. It's throwing all these different things at you. Purdue's just like, hey, we got a quarterback that can throw the ball, so we're going to let him do that. And he can throw the football, but he cannot move. He is not mobile. It doesn't matter in the sense that he can process a play quickly. He can read a defense. He can get the ball where it needs to go. We've talked a lot about Charlie Jones and the early impact that he's had for Purdue, a guy that's gotten open. And, you know, that's something that Syracuse has the advantage, unlike Penn State did, to see on film. Because when Charlie Jones was at Iowa, he just, I don't know if you guys know this, Iowa doesn't really throw the ball that much. You watch Iowa football, it's like a great reason to take a nap for a few hours. He goes to Purdue, where Purdue, through the years, they are, again, it's not, you know, what Syracuse likes to do and some misdirection and some different formations and some wacky things and pre-snap notion. They're just, here we come. We're going to take some shots. Let's see if you can stop it. And with Garrett Williams and Deuce Chestnut, Garrett Williams, by the way, was appearing on the ACC network yesterday. I noticed a certain stat about Aiden O'Connor.
I mean, yeah, I saw in the stat book that he hadn't done an interception yet. You know, hopefully I'm the first one. If not, I hope any of us are the first one, and hopefully get him to throw multiple. He's a great quarterback, though, and he's got a lot of good weapons, so it's going to be a lot of fun, though.
If O'Connell or Schrader throws an interception in this game, that will be the first either throws this year. Syracuse, that has bucked the trend of last year, where they had a total of 7 takeaways. They have 5 already through this season. Purdue had a total of 7 rushing touchdowns all of last year. They already have 5 this year, but what they do not have is a primary back. What they do not have, not a lot of people compare to Sean Tucker, so I'm not trying to do that, but they don't have a, man, we have to do everything we can to stop this running back. It's more on the quarterback. But they do have a running back who's got 3 of those 5 rushing touchdowns, and if you sleep on him, he's going to burn you. So I look at the offenses, and I see one that's the iPhone, and I see the other that's like the old brick phone. It'll work. It'll do what you got to do, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles. But sometimes just that old phone gets the job done, right? I was joking around with Jordan before the show with a movie I was watching last night that I really enjoy, and its 30th anniversary is approaching, and I listened to one of my favorite podcasts about it yesterday. Shout out to the Rewatchables. And I watched this movie and I was like, wow, is this thing dated? And that's me. Like, I lived through this. That's my generation. The movie is Singles, by the way, for those of you that know, not only the movie, but in my opinion, the greatest soundtrack ever made. I mean, Purple Rain was pretty good too, but this one's epic, just epic from start to finish. And like I said yesterday, I could talk about that soundtrack all day, but some of those things, as dated as they are, still work. You can use a landline. They still work, right? You can't. They're giving away garage door openers. Those old clicky garage door openers, nobody uses those anymore, right? So there was a lot of dated things in that movie, but they still work. There's a lot of things that produce offense that it's not going to overwhelm you, but it works because you have the quarterback to do it. Now on defense, Jeff Brohm, the Purdue head coach, looked at that 3-3-5 that Tony White puts out there, and here's what he sees.
Their defense presents a lot of problems because it's unique. It can have 3 guys on the line of scrimmage and a bunch of guys playing at different levels and a bunch of guys attacking and blitzing from all over, and just gives you a lot of looks. And I think if you look at the history of that defense and where it originated from, they've always given people problems. And that's going to be a challenge for us, is you've got to be able to see things after the snap. You got to be able to see moving parts. You got to be able to block moving bodies. They're not just going to be a traditional front and look that you can work against every week. You're going to have to, you know, work against what you've seen, but they have a lot of movement out of it, and that normally presents problems for offenses in general, especially offensive linemen. So, yes, it is a challenge.
That's Jeff Brohm there. Now, Syracuse has Garrett Williams and Deuce Chestnut, but Purdue has something that neither one of those two has produced so far this year. As a matter of fact, Purdue is right there at the top of the country. They are just 3 teams so far in college football that have multiple pick sixes. Now, the interesting thing there is Jalen Graham, their best defensive player, is out. He's kind of like a safety linebacker hybrid. He would be one of the top candidates for one of those pick sixes, but he has not had either one. And by the way, this was all not last week. They had these two of these three against Penn State. So while they don't have, because Graham is out of this game, the star power, they have guys that can return a pick six if Schrader is off at some point. And as much as I've enjoyed watching Garrett Schrader this year, he's going to have a bad game. He's going to slip up. He's going to make mistakes. Like, he cannot continue on this torrid pace that he is on. It's just not going to happen, right? Love for him to prove me wrong, but, I mean, he would. That's essentially like a quarterback pitching a perfect game if he can keep this up. So on the surface, yeah, they don't have what Syracuse has, two star cornerbacks that are both going to the National Football League. They have one in Graham, but he's out of this game. I wonder how much the noon kickoff's going to play into this game, too. I know that sounds weird. What does that matter? Show up when the game starts. Well, Syracuse has started with two night games. The mentality of a night game and preparing for a night game, what game day is like, could not be more opposite when it's a noon game. For that opener against Louisville, the crowd had all day to enjoy some adult beverages in moderation.
The guy is drunk!
You know, hyped about that first game, and you can build up to it, right? Those noon games, you got to get the batteries going earlier. Now, there's some hardcore tailgaters out there that they can get it going. And we'll be at Shaughnessy's at 9 a.m., baby, starting pregame. So I know some of you, that's wouldn't be your first time at a bar at 9 o'clock in the morning, that's for sure. You guys open? Yeah, hello? Hello? Point being, Syracuse has started really well. It was crucial that they started well in the first half against Louisville, given the dominance the Cardinals had in the first half. They took care of business there. I said it earlier here in the monologue, Syracuse started with seven scoring drives against UConn, so I would say they did pretty well there, too. Is that another trend that'll break in this game? Because you got two teams feeling each other out. My official prediction will come out tomorrow. I certainly think this is going to be a closer game. I certainly think this is going to be a game where some adversity strikes, and I certainly think this is going to be, in some ways, I'm going to frame it this way, a weird football game. I think both teams are going to make plays, and I know you can say this about almost every football game, but I think it's darn right crucial in this game, given what we're talking about here, the contrast in styles. Whoever either just takes full advantage of the matchup first or spots the adjustment that has to be made first is going to win. And that's where I think Syracuse has an advantage. They're more flexible. What the 3-3-5 defense can do and how you can change it around, certainly the flexibility and the changes we have seen on offense benefit Syracuse. That is, we said it, they're an iPhone. They've got more widgets and gadgets. Purdue, they're more just like a straightforward, good old flip phone. It'll work when it works. But if you figure it out, it doesn't take long to do that. Now, Purdue could come in here and throw some wrinkles at Syracuse I haven't seen and you haven't seen, but I just get the feeling they're more straight meat and potatoes. Here's what we do, try and stop it, where Syracuse is going to employ a little bit more of misdirection in there. But you know what's been working for them? Garrett Schrader throwing the football to no matter who it is and a whole lot of Sean Tucker. You know what's on the menu there. You don't have to ask for the secret item. It's like, nope, it's right here. That's what we do. But there are going to be some things in this game where mystery, intrigue, adjustments, how they handle certain aspects of things. Now we're getting into week three. Not that teams are banged up per se. This is Purdue's first road game. They don't play in an environment like the Carrier Dome, JMA Wireless Dome. Darn it. Did it again. They don't play in a dome. So if that crowd's ready, I know it's a noon game. Some students have trouble getting ramped up for those noon games. And the students, Otto's Army, they lead the way. But it's not just them. Some people like kind of stroll in there for those noon games after a Friday night off, after a long week at work, and it takes you a little bit to get revved up there. But once they get going and Purdue's like, wait a minute, this is you can practice all you want with the speakers blaring here. This is not what I thought it would be. keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on who adjusts first and who leans on the other's weakness first, and that's who's going to win this game. And I feel like Syracuse has more options there. But don't underestimate Purdue either. There's a, now Vegas has set the lines where they are because Vegas wants your money. So they're going to tip the scales one way or the other that way, but there's a reason either team is not an overwhelming favorite in this game. And on that note, we will break. We will come back, and we will switch gears a little bit. We'll continue to talk Syracuse football later with Mike McAllister. We'll continue to look at this matchup and everything that comes with it. Syracuse football over-unders later in the show. Josh is working on that for us. Oh, baby, we got us a Wednesday show. We're ready to rock and roll on that. We're going to talk some New York sports next, though, with our friend James Cratch from Elite Sports NY. A lot to get into there. Aaron Judge hitting bombs. The Mets, Max Scherzer in town. Where are they at right now? Giants and Jets getting their seasons underway. Each of those respective coaches, I think, having different temperatures in New York right now. Brian Daboll's favorability rating a little higher than Robert Saleh at this point. So we'll get into all that and more. But first, let's see how the markets did today. Getting over the hump on this Wednesday, our friend Bill from Lee Baldwin & Company here to tell us how that was. As Bill told us yesterday, September could be kind of a weird month, right? Was it weird today, Bill?
It's quite, as I mentioned or tried to mention yesterday, it's the worst month of the year for the stock market, not for birthdays. We did rebound a little bit today, up 30 points, but we were down 1,200 yesterday, so not much of a rebound. But we'll take it. On the plus side, we have a natural gas company, Cheniere Energy, up 5%, as natural gas rose 7% today. Here's an interesting stat. Cheniere is the largest exporter of natural gas. They're shipping 2 huge natural gas tankers per day to Europe. One of these tankers can heat a European household for a month, a million European households for a month. So that 2 tankers a day, 2 million people heat for a month, and they're shipping 2 every day. So, you know, here's the U.S. trying to help out Europe as much as we can ahead of the winter months. And then on the dog side, we had a steel stock Nucor that was down 8% after lowering earnings. So we are seeing some recessionary signs in certain areas. And that's it today.
Wow, Bill, bringing the knowledge today. I learned something. Not that I don't learn something every day, but look at you dropping knowledge on us on delivering tankers and what they're capable of. Good stuff, my friend. Always appreciate it. See, that's why we do this segment. Not only so you get all the diamonds and none of the dogs on your portfolio, but who knew that? They know that. They follow that stuff. Lee Baldwin & Company, LeeBaldwin.com, or stop in and see Lee, Bill, Mike, any of the voices you hear, maybe some that you don't, in Cazenovia and Utica. We will break and come back and talk some New York sports with our friend James Cratch. Don't go anywhere.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back, friends. Great to have you here on the block, ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com. Josh has entered the studio for entertainment purposes only discussion on Syracuse football. But before we get to Josh, here I'm sure with a similarly themed phone call is the great Scooter in Janesville. Hello, Scooter.
Couple things. How about an irony that if we play Notre Dame, Notre Dame wouldn't be ranked and Syracuse would be? Wouldn't that be the irony of the,
that really would,
of the season so far?
Because I thought every team in that stretch, and you got Pitt in there, you got Clemson in there, would all still be ranked by the time Syracuse played them. And at this rate, probably only one of them is still going to be ranked. But man, Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman still hasn't won a game. Their starting quarterback goes down. Like this could get ugly.
Well, their offense, you know me when it comes to higher defensive coordinators, my head coach, he lived that with our situations with Schaefer and Robinson. You don't hire a plumber to fix an electrician problem. They have problems on the offense, and if their head coach is defense, that means they better have a great offensive coordinator to fix it. And if they can't, they're out of luck. You mentioned Northwestern that you were surprised that they played college football there, right? Northwestern.
Oh, that stadium. I don't want to speak ill of it, but I was just surprised. Like, you go there and it's like, man, that's a small stadium. It's like carved out of a neighborhood. It's beautiful view. If you're up high, you can see the lake. But So I was, then that was 10 years ago. Maybe it's a little better now, but 10 years ago, it was pretty much a glorified high school stadium.
Well, that's where they filmed the Ernie Davis movie.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because that was the oldest looking.
I was going to say, they needed an old school look, right? So let's go to that joint.
Archibald Stadium.
That makes a lot more sense now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you mentioned that, I go, you're right. They were searching for the oldest stadium in the probably United States, and they went there to try to make it look like Archibald Stadium.
I'm pretty sure, Scoot, that the golf course across the street, because I remember this, because I did my show there from this. I don't know why we ended up doing it from the golf course, but that's where we were. That's where Bill Murray caddied.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the one. I'll look it up to be sure, but I remember somebody talking about that when we were there. So we're on hallowed ground there.
So I'm just, like I said, this game here coming up in Syracuse, so what I like about it is I think both teams are going to be paired on offense to whatever the defense is going to do. Usually you don't see that sometimes. But I'm actually a Jeff Brown fan. I found him in Western Kentucky. When the job came open for Syracuse, to be quite honest, I was hoping that he would be in the picture because he's a vertical guy. He's got the experience, Bobby Petrino, disciple. And it's going to be fun because now we have, I think, a coordinator that sees the defense and gets us into the right place, too. So
they're going to take
shots.
It'll
be like a chess match.
There's no question about it. Their quarterback is as traditional a pocket quarterback as you can get. I'm with you on Brom. I like what he's done. I like watching his teams play because they're going to sling it, and they're going to go after it. Now, here's what I'm worried about Saturday from a lot of perspectives, Scooter. Big Ten officiating crew. We haven't had. Now, Syracuse had 18 penalties in game one, but that was their own fault, right, because it was a lot of procedure penalties. But at some point, the officials are going to affect a game, and let's just hope it's not this one. Somebody pointed that out in our Q Sports Talk chat, and I thought that was a valid point.
Well, look out for the holding. I've noticed in the Big Ten, especially a lot of the running plays, they like to call the holding. That's a good thing. Usually I thought they would go independent. You go to the Big 12 or the Southeast Conference when you have two conferences playing each other. That's interesting.
Now, Scooter, before we go, I might have to ask you a favor. So apparently Sharon's been downgraded at the Stone.
She
doesn't get the free gift. So
okay,
I might ask you to pick up the free gift for me. All right? if you're not using it, just let me know. I'll take it off your hands.
So she missed out on the portable ice cooler then, huh?
Oh, that's what I
was
wanted.
Last week.
That's what I would have
We'll see if I can find scratch
on,
up
hook
one
me
for
up.
You.
Come on. I'll try to hook you up,
but I'll talk to Sean, see what we can do.
There you go. That's my man right there. See, that's one I would have wanted right there. The ice cooler, that sounds pretty cool. No pun intended. Thank you, Scooter. Always appreciate the thoughts. Josh is here in studio to continue the for entertainment purposes only theme of this discussion and give us some Syracuse football over-unders here. I'm not going to do the music because we got to have some college football music. I forgot to load it in there. Eventually, we'll have some music for this segment. So we will go music-less. We can do that. It's okay.
I got to be honest with you there real quick. You asked Scooter for a favor there. I thought you were about to outsource your picks. I wouldn't have judged you if you did based on the last performance you had.
I want the cooler.
All right.
Want the cooler. Sharon hasn't been spending enough money at the Brick lately.
Understood.
Which is good news in one sense because that means there's more money in my inheritance. But other than that, not getting that free gift. All right. So we've been doing this every Wednesday. We do some over-unders and some other fun things to ponder for the upcoming Syracuse football game from a betting perspective. Did you keep track of last week?
I did.
Okay, how'd I do?
3-4, minus 2.4 units. We move to 5-9 on the season.
Okay.
Down 6.65 units.
We're in a little bit of a hole. Remember, we do have the 2-unit option on some of these bets.
You can go 3 if you want to as well. You can go as big as you need to go.
I can go as big as I want, but you don't want to get in the hole 3, 4, 5 units on certain things. You better be really, really sure on that. Okay, so we're 5-9. Got to dig out of a hole a little bit here. Lay it on me.
Start with the first one, just general over-under, 58.5 points. What do you like?
So I'm thinking of what the score I filed today for my prediction was. Did carry the 3. 58?
58.5 it was.
So I'm under.
Under?
I'm going to take the under on that. You could still have like a 30-27 type game, like a high-scoring game. Mm-hmm. It just won't top that. I'm going to go under close, but I will take the under on that.
All right, little bit of a sweater there, but we'll take the under. Moving on, Garrett Schrader's total yards, not just passing. Again, I'll remind you,
Okay. Going
over under 269.5 yards.
Over under 269, I am going to say I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over. I think he keeps it going. The balance between the pass and the run. I think Purdue's got a lot to think about there. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Garrett Schrader had 292 yards passing last week. Now it's UConn. This is Purdue. It's a better team. But I think he can get there. I'm going to take the over. He's going to keep it rolling.
All right. There we go. Moving on to the other star on the Syracuse offense, we'll go with Sean Tucker. Over under 149.5 total yards.
He had 112 rushing.
Again, total yards, so rushing.
Last week, I forget his passing numbers, but it wasn't much
last week.
Certainly was not as much as he had 84 yards passing against Louisville.
17
receiving
yards,
if you will. All right. So you said 149 in this game.
Yep.
I would imagine, I mean, every team's going to key in on him, but you know what? You know what, Josh? Not only are we going over, we're putting two units on.
All right.
We're putting two units on that.
Let's go. I said the same thing last week, and it went under. I want to let you know that.
Sometimes these games, you get into these back-and-forth flows here, and it, even though you know it's coming, like Syracuse knows Aiden O'Connell's going to throw the ball. Still going to make plays.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Sean Tucker fits in that category.
All right.
The man's just still going to make plays. UConn did a nice job on him last week, and he still had 112 yards rushing. So, two units on the over, riding the Tucker train. Let's go.
You just mentioned him there. Let's go look at the other team. We're looking at Purdue now. Aiden O'Connell, 269.5 total
over.
Yards.
Over.
Over?
100%.
That was a quick one.
Definitely over. I think that O'Connell is, look, he's as traditional a pocket quarterback as you can get. Syracuse has to prove that pass rush can come from up front, not just some stunts and blitzes from the linebackers. He gets rid of the ball quick. He makes quick decisions. Charlie Jones in the flat, just like a lot of, as Paul Pasqualoni used to say, yak, a lot of yards after the catch. I'm not going to say he's going to have it by halftime, but he's going to have it relatively soon in that game.
I would hope he does not have 270 yards by halftime.
That would be bad.
That would not be ideal.
That would not be ideal for Syracuse.
Moving on. This dude's
put up over 500 yards in a couple of different games. He can sling it.
He had, I think the number was 365 or something like that against Penn State. But last week he only had like 200. So
he can go back at halftime. That's why. It's the only reason why.
That'll do it.
Because they yanked him at halftime.
All right, did not know that.
That will not happen this game.
All right, moving on. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball.
Okay.
We got sacks for Syracuse. You going over or under 2.5?
I'm going to say over because O'Connell's not very mobile. He can't escape trouble. If they get a pass rush, he's going down. Now, he can kind of do that Tom Brady slide thing, and like I mentioned, he does make quick decisions, but they'll get to him a few times.
All right.
They'll get at least 3 sacks on this guy.
All right. Confident with that one. A little more on the defense. You mentioned it earlier that Aiden O'Connell has not thrown a pick yet this season.
He's not.
So how many interceptions will Syracuse get in this game? We're going to go with 0 at plus 140.
Okay.
1 at plus 150. 2 at plus 300. And then 3 or more at plus 900.
I am going to say one.
One?
I feel like he'll throw a pick. I also think Schrader will throw a pick in this game.
Who throws a pick first?
Schrader.
All right. I'll keep track of that one.
Mistakes are going to come. He's been too good. I'm sorry. This team has played too well. He has played too well. If they prove me wrong, they are free to shove it in my face. But as I've been saying all week, little adversity is going to creep its way into this game, folks. So he will throw a pick for the first time. Purdue is one of only 3 teams in the country with multiple pick sixes this year.
Wow.
How about that?
Who are the other 2?
I don't know. I only saw the stat that they're one of the 3.
All right. Last one for you here. Little fun one, a little off the field stuff. Attendance at the Dome. You're going over or under 44,444.
Now, this is the official announced number.
Official announced number. 44,444.
Under. But it's going to be close. There's going to be, I'm going to double check on this tomorrow because I looked Monday, and it was trending to be about a 43,000-plus crowd.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that's still on pace and everything's good there, but this is going to be a legit. When they announce the number, it'll be bumped up a little bit because it always is, but this is a legit 43,000 butts and seats game.
What was the number for the Louisville game?
37,000. Yeah. And that was announced, by the way. 37,110, I believe it was. This one's going to be... They'll announce it 43-ish, and that'll
for
be legit.
For a primetime opener, that's fairly low.
It was. But remember, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair. Just too. Automatically yeah. Take out about 5,000-6,000 fans
that's
for
fair.
That. The Fairweather fans are starting to creep back. Now, I'm wondering about the noon start.
I think that's what I was going to say. I think that
things.
Could have an impact.
There's
if this
still
were,
people that do things on Saturdays, you know, kids have games and stuff like that.
This were a 7, 8 o'clock game, I'd say you're definitely breaking
what's
going to
be the student approach here? Nooners can be tough for you guys.
Nooners can be tough. Friday's going to be a low-key night for most people, I would imagine. And it's a...
You sure about that?
It's a, for the most part, somewhat low-key at least. And then it's a...
Then go hard Saturday after the win.
Go big Saturday.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Josh is going to stick around, take us on the blind side when we come back. Stay right there.